Well, we're going to start in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And I wanted to share on the subject of imitators of God. Imitators of God. And it is a delightful thing to see little boys, you know, little kids, little fellas, try to imitate what the dads do. You know, like if dad cuts grass, the kid eventually wants to have his little toy thing and push a plastic lawnmower. Problem is, when they get old enough to do it, they're no longer interested. But boys try to imitate their fathers, you know, and girls try to imitate their moms, and you know, it's not just cute, but it's wonderful. It really is. And we, as we know, are God's children, and it shows here in Ephesians 5:1 that God wants us to imitate Him. And it says, be therefore followers of God as dear children. And we are God's dear children. And the word followers, as you know, is the Greek word mimetitos, or mimetos. And it means to imitate, to mimic. So God's ways are ways that we're supposed to mimic. And this is something, the reason why God wants this is that it's not something that naturally happens. We haven't, you know, when we started growing up as a kid and stuff and into teenage years, we didn't automatically imitate the ways of God. We imitated the ways of the world or whatever was in our head. Most of it was the ways of the world, and that's what we imitated. We see this, we did that. We see that, we did that. And then when we get born again, God wants us to live according to His word and His ways. And if we back up to chapter 4, starting in verse 22, shows that we're supposed to do some changing once we get born again. And it says that you put off concerning the former conversation, and the word conversation, it could be translated as behavior or manner of life, that you put it off. The old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and that describes our old man nature. And we're supposed to get rid of that. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and then as you put, then you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And then he gives a number of different things of actions or ways of living that he would either want us to stop doing or to start doing. Verse 25, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another, so we're not supposed to lie. We can lie down, but we can't lie. Anyway, verse 26, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. That's a good one. Yeah, don't give him place. Let him that stole steal no more. Rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication, which is not just four-letter words, but it's words that tear down, proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, not just some of it, but all of it, all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be therefore, because of those things, followers or imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication, which is basically immoral sexual behavior. There's a lot of things that are considered fornication. I don't think we need to go much further than that. It's pretty obvious what's right and wrong sexually. But fornication and all uncleanness and or covetousness, which is a yearning for, over yearning for things, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. You know, not even once. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather, were to be giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Now, some people get tripped up on that in a sense. They think, oh, if I do these things, then I'm not going to heaven. It's not what it says. It doesn't have any inheritance in the sense that what we do on earth in our lifetime, we're going to get rewarded for in the future. And what that according to God's word, and what we do that's not according to God's word when we're in heaven, it gets burned up. So most of your life is crap. There's a lot of crap burned up, because to be in God's presence, you have to be holy. Your life has to be holy, and he gets rid of all that crap that we did on earth. So, you know, yes, they're born, you know, a person could be born again and do those things. Just don't be going to heaven. Doesn't stop a person from going to heaven, as we know. But there's not going to be a reward for those items. We get rewarded for doing that which is godly. And we may look at it, I don't know if it matters. But when you look at the eternal life side of it, how much that could be a blessing to our lives. But he gets rid of all the chaff. If we don't do it on our own down here, when we get to heaven, that's part of it. It gets burned up. Talks about it in Corinthians. You know, what we build on, whether it gets, whether it stays or it gets burned up. Which is really loving of God to do. But to stand in the presence of God, we have to be holy. Look at all the, what the priest had to do every year to go into the Holy of Holies. And all the coverings of things. So, verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. That's not us, but there is going to be a wrath. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. It's obvious, even though maybe we don't understand it all, there's some things he doesn't want us to do. He doesn't want us to be part of. So, be not partakers with them, for you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit, the word Spirit in almost all the texts is the word for light, and in context it should be light. For the fruit of the light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, and some evil doing. No. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship. And the word no fellowship is no fellowship, no sharing fully with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he says, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So it's obvious there's a things that are good to follow and pursue, and there's things that are not good to follow or pursue. Let's go to Gospel of John, chapter 14. But God wants us to be imitators of him, which is really amazing that he thinks that we can even do that. You know, but his way, he wants his ways to be our ways, or our ways to be what are his ways. John chapter 14, verse 9, the perfect example of a person living for God is Jesus Christ. And one of the apostles asked him to show him, asked Jesus to show him the Father, and it says, Jesus saith unto them, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? It's not saying that he was God there, but that the way that Jesus Christ lived was just the way that God lives. You know, Jesus Christ loved people like God loved people. Jesus Christ was merciful like God is merciful. Jesus Christ yearned for truth just like God yearned for truth. And there's a lot of things that that he did that imitated his heavenly Father. And so that's why you say, hey, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You know, we can think of a lot of things to relate to. Hey, if you've seen this person, you know, that's, you know, whatever. Put an example in your head. But if you've seen Jesus Christ's life, then you've seen what God is like. Because Jesus Christ mirrored how God was. He reflected God's grace, His mercy, His love, all those things. Really wonderful. And He did it perfectly. We desire to do it, but He did it perfectly. Let's go to John chapter 10. Jesus Christ's desires were just like God's desires. What does God desire? Well, we go to God's Word to find out what they are. Here's another one. And people use this to say that this is Jesus Christ saying He is God. It says, I and my Father are one. But the word one isn't one and the same. It's the term for one in purpose. Like we can say we're at one. Or a baseball team is as one. They're not the same person. And that's the word for one in the Greek. It's one in purpose. One in unity of purpose, so to speak. So, if you saw Jesus Christ, you had a good look at what God's like. You know, we've probably all seen different kids that are really, really, they just have not learned good things, and they're really nasty kids, and you say, you ever hear the saying, apple doesn't fall from the tree? You know? It's just the way it is. I mean, every time these little kids, they finally repeat a four-letter word, and then you say, where'd they get that from? It's either from a household or kids in the neighborhood or something, but some they picked it up somehow, you know. So if we've seen the Lord Jesus Christ, we've seen what God's like as far as how life is to be lived. Let's go to Luke chapter 6. God wants us to imitate Him. What a privilege and an honor that is. And there are people out there that are not born again that hate God. They love the ways of the world. And when they're around us, they don't like us either. Which is pretty wild. You think, like Kat. Kat's a very lovable person. But there's people that don't like Kat because he believes in God. Hard to believe, but... You know, Proverbs says that the righteous hate unrighteousness. And then right after that it says the unrighteous hate righteousness. Mm-hmm. They just hate it. And to us it was like, how could you think that liking that is a good thing? It doesn't compute to our brain, but that's how twisted it is. The devil hates God. I mean, hates him. Now that's stupid. But he does. And he's all these eons of time that he's been hating God. He hasn't changed. He hates God. And he hates what God represents. And when Jesus Christ came on the scene, he hated him. And he hates us. So there are people that live that way. Luke chapter 6. But we want to imitate God. Verse 31. And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thanks have you? For even the sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thanks have you? For sinners even do that, also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thanks have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be of the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. You know, it is easy to love people that are loving. They're easy to be around. But what if they aren't loving? Well, it might take a little bit more effort, but you still try to bless them. You know, it's the way it is. It's easy to be around people that are nice to you. But what if they're not nice to you? You kick them out? I mean, there is things in God's Word to talk about what we should separate ourselves from. I'm not saying there's no separation, but I'm just saying, you know, it's easy to love people that are lovable or are very loving. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Similar truth. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. Says, you have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And the word here for perfect is the Greek word teleos. It's not perfect in the sense of being without flaw. You know, one of the definitions of perfect in our culture is that there's nothing wrong with it. It's not this. It's the word for fully mature. Like, if you had an apple tree, and it was the beginning of the spring, and when they finally start, where you can say, oh, that's an apple, they're not perfect yet. But there comes a point, whenever the season is, that's full, it's a big, you know, nice round red thing or green thing, whatever it is, and it's called perfect. It's reached its fullest mature state. And that's what God is after. He wants us to be so fully mature like he is. God doesn't have to learn anymore about being loving. God doesn't have to learn anymore about being merciful. He doesn't have to learn anymore about being forgiving. He is it. And we're supposed to be, at, you know, in that mature state. That's God's will. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And we are endeavoring with all our might to be like this. And, you know, we just continue to grow in this. But there are a lot of things in God's Word that perhaps we need to grow more in. Romans chapter 12. And here is a list of things in this chapter, what things that God wants us to do or to not do. And we endeavor to line up our lives accordingly so we can be imitators of God. We're going to start in verse 9. It says, let love be without dissimulation, or dissimulation is the same word for hypocrisy. We're not to be hypocritical in how we love. Well, I like that person, so I'm going to be kind and loving to that. But I really don't like that person. You know, what they say about me or what they do, and I'm not going to treat them too well. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor, which is to hate, that which is evil. We saw a couple weeks ago, we went over agreeing with God. And it was, I showed from the scriptures that what God opposes and says is horrible, we're to agree and say, yeah, I oppose that and think it's horrible too. What God says is lovely, I'm supposed to agree with that and say, yeah, that's lovely. And so we gave an example of homosexuality. Homosexuality is an abomination to God. So if I, as a believer, say, you know, they can do what they want, it's okay if they want to do that. Well, God says if they do it, he's just given up on them in that area of their life. But it's still an abomination. So I'm not to like give my sanction on it. Yeah, you know, it's okay. Is it really? God hates it. So we're to hate it. If God loves something, we're to love that too. So there are things that we're to abhor, and we're supposed to cleave, like it says at the end of the verse, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. It's not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant, always being ready in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not, rejoice with them that rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one to another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Don't be such a smart ass that you think you know it all. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And the word honest there isn't in the sense of how we use honest today. A lot of times when you think of somebody that's honest, you think, okay, they're truthful type of thing. They're not liars. What they say they do, or what they say they don't, you know, they're honest about their life. It's actually, most of the time, the word is translated as good. Good or beautiful or splendid or fantastic. And the word provide is mental. It's a mentally make a provision for good things in the sight of all men. So our lives are to try to present and give to people good things. And that's the reflection of living for God. Because that's what God does for us. He's always presenting great things for us. Verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourself. Avenge is sort of like revenge. But rather, give place unto wrath. And it's referring to the wrath that's coming up in the future by God Almighty. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So if you want to get back at somebody, somebody's really done something terrible to you, God says, just wait until I'm ready to do it. I'm going to take care of all those things in due time. And don't get yourself, don't get your panties in a,
undies in a bundle.
In a bunch.
Yeah, don't do that. Just look, I got it covered. There's a day coming that all these things that are done wrong to you by other people, and that's part of that burning up. Because if they're a believer, that stuff gets burned up. They still have salvation. Unbelievers? Well, that's the way it goes. But, there's a day coming. And that's why we don't have to hold on to all that stuff, because it'll just bring bitterness to our heart and soul. There's a day coming where they're going to get theirs. That I don't want to be on that side of it. Verse 20, therefore, because of that, if thine enemy hunger, we'll let him starve. No. Feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And we know that's not like you're burning them. But, it's the evangelism where the little kids go with the coals on their, in the pot and walk around the village and it would warm them in the cooler months. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with bigger evil. With good. And that's God's way of doing things. I know sometimes somebody does something really terrible to you, and you feel like getting back, but God says, it's not worth it. Just stay blessed, overcome it with good. And so we have to choose. I've seen people that are believers, and they're always pissed off. It's like, okay, there's a day coming. don't get, you know, driving with them, it's like giving the finger to everybody. It's like, don't let it get to you. It's no big deal.
Me.
All right? Just the way it is. Let's go to James chapter 1. Another very familiar section of the Word. I don't think any of these scriptures are new to us, but it's good to keep hearing them. James chapter 1, verse 21 says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to make save your souls," or make our souls whole, you know, really bless our lives. "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man who beholds himself, beholds his natural face in a glass," which is referring to a mirror, "and he beholdeth himself, and he goeth away straightway, or immediately forgeth what manner of man he was. But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." I don't think there's any of us that look in a mirror and forget what we look like a minute later. There's a mirror right there. But that's what God likens it unto. You hear the word, and then as soon as you stop hearing, you forget what it said. But God wants us to be doers of it. And lastly, we're going to Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 15. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. Numbers, Deuteronomy 15. And here is an example of how, you know, with all this stuff of God's Word, it always refers, it requires a decision of a renewing of our mind, changing our mind, and it's what we choose. And we just, you know, it takes a little work. It doesn't happen automatically. We don't get muscles automatically. I mean, our body don't show muscular strength if we don't work or do stuff. But they don't come up. You know, good jokes don't come automatically. I sure know that. I learned that lesson a long time ago. Even with a lot of work, it doesn't come. Okay, so chapter 15, these are some of the rules and regs that God has for the children of Israel to get through life until the return, you know, that Christ comes. And this is one of the ways that God set up their civil living so that there's not a lot of financial problems. And I think it's pretty funny the way God says this stuff. So, chapter 15, verse 1, it says, "At the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release." And you're going to explain what the release is. And this is the manner of the release. "Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact of it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release." So every 7 years on the calendar, whoever owes somebody else money doesn't owe it anymore. Anything like that. And that keeps bankruptcy down, it keeps a lot of things down. So if Terry, without Donnie's knowledge, lends me $100,000 and I didn't pay it back before the release, I don't owe her anymore. And Donnie's got to talk to her. And that's how God set it up. So, they were Jewish people, right? The Jewish guy says, okay, I don't mind doing that year one or two or three, maybe even four. But year seven, that's really close to the release time. So maybe I ought to make a really good excuse why I can't lend them money. And that's kind of natural. I mean, I think most of our minds would probably go that way. Especially depending on how big it is, you know. But that was God's will. So in verse 7, this is God puts this in there to help them to be able to do that. If there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of the gates in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother. But thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need and that which he wanteth. Beware that there be not a wicked, be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release is at hand, and thy eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him nothing, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee. Isn't that interesting? Thou shalt not, or thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works, and in all that thou puttest thine hand unto. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, and to thy poor, and to thy needy, in thy land. So, you know, sometimes there's stuff that comes up where God says we should love that individual. And in our minds, we start coming up with excuses. Well, they did this or that or this or that. Does that ever happen? Or a forgiveness. I believe in forgiveness, sure. But I'm not forgiving that person. Well, but it's just an interesting illustration. And it was God's way of helping those people to keep going. And he said, just give it, even if it's towards the very end, right before the release, because I'm going to bless you, and you're going to have what you need anyway. And so will that person. Isn't that interesting how God worked that out? So, you know, when it comes to our lives reflecting God, we don't want to pick and choose and say, Tommy's not too good right now. Hey, come see me 4 months from now. Can you hang in there? I'll give you $10 and then we'll give you the rest later. You know, it's just not how God wants it. And so we can't pick and choose, you know, kind of wiggle out of it. So, interesting. So we just want to continue to have our lives really be a great reflection. And we're growing. I mean, and that happens. I mean, the last perfect guy on earth, he took a little hike. I mean, he's still functioning, obviously, but there's only been one perfect person. Well, two. I mean, Adam was perfect for a little while. Didn't last long. But, so, it's just great that we can, what a privilege even to be able to imitate God's ways.